Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good morning. Welcome to this edition of Atlanta Business Radio, powered by Business Radio X. I'm your host, Alex Gossett-Shiflett, and welcome to our producer, Ryan Redhawk McPherson. Ryan, how are you today?
Unbelievable.
Excellent. For a hump day, that's pretty good.
Yes, the weekend's almost here.
It's true.
Excited about today's show.
Yes. We have a very special guest in our studio today, but before we get started, make sure you are connected with us on social media, Twitter at Business Radio X. Also, today's show, Atlanta Business Radio, you can follow us at Atlanta Biz Radio, and you can connect with me personally on Twitter at Alex G. Shiflett. I'd love to hear from you, and you can check out the pictures of our guests that are in the studio today. Okay, we have a very special guest. We have Kyle Valencia from Valencia Productions. Welcome, Kyle.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, Kyle, I was reading your bio, and you apparently wear a lot of hats.
I do, yes.
Yeah, you do. Which one do you want to start with?
Let's start with the production company.
Okay.
So, yeah, I started the Valencia Productions 13 years ago. What it is photos, videos, graphic design. So what I like to tell people is if you have a business that you don't have a VP of marketing or don't want to hire a VP of marketing, you can hire Valencia Productions to do anything marketing related with photos, videos, and graphic design.
Okay. Well, let's go back. What path led you to creating Valencia Productions?
Just a passion to create. So at an early stage in life, around 16, 15, I got into photography and I loved creating pictures and images. And so really it just kind of turned from a hobby and a passion to kind of slowly evolved it into a business where we started doing weddings and headshots for families and friends. And then it kind of evolved into this, this company that really a lot of big companies in Atlanta are using us.
Wow. Now, did you study anywhere or did you just start at the age of 15? You just kind of self-taught yourself?
Yeah. So 15 until I was in college, it was just all self-taught. And then all throughout college, I actually did not study photography or production. But I learned everything there was to know about production through the library. So I got all the books, I read them all, and that's how I learned.
That's interesting. What did you study in college?
I got my degree actually in youth ministry. So I was a youth pastor. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you were a youth pastor. Mm-hmm. How long were you a youth pastor?
So right out of college, I went to church here up and coming, and I was a youth pastor for 7 years where it was an awesome experience where I took a team of three adults and like 12 kids. And then by year seven, I think we were at 33 adults and over 100 kids.
Wow. What church was it?
It was called Grace Fellowship.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Grace Fellowship.
And then while I was doing that, if anyone knows the industry of churches, you don't really make much money. So
right.
So that's when I was also building up this production company, the business and making money.
While you were being the youth pastor,
correct.
You were working on your business.
Correct. Yeah.
Wow. And then you said you started with weddings.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that a lot. People that are that start with photography and video, that's a good place to start. And how long did you have to do weddings before you moved on to working for actual companies?
Probably just maybe two years or so. And then that's when I started doing more networking around in the Forsyth Chamber, the Alpharetta Chamber. And that's when I started meeting more businessmen and businesswomen who own their own businesses and they wanted their corporate headshots or they wanted us to design them a logo or make some Instagram or Facebook campaigns for them.
Okay. Well, I've got to stop and ask you just some questions about doing weddings because you said you did weddings for 2 years.
Yeah.
How was that experience? And what was the most interesting thing that happened while you were shooting weddings?
Mm-hmm. You said I did it for 2 years. I've actually done it for 13 years.
We still do weddings.
We're very kind of picky on which weddings we choose because weddings can be very difficult. So we have actually shot weddings in Maryland, in Kentucky, California, St. Martin,
really?
All around. So we try to pick the weddings that we would really want to attend. But the craziest thing was probably in the first year or two, the wedding coordinator just didn't do their job, and it ended up being me. So I was DJing, I was doing all this crazy stuff while trying to shoot because I wanted the bride to have a good experience.
Oh, yeah. Wow. And so I guess part of the decision on which wedding you choose is, you know, where you'd like to go visit, because it sounds like you've been to some interesting places.
Yeah. So like St. Martin last year, I think it was, my wife actually, I've taught her throughout this thing, throughout us going. So I have other videographers and photographers I can call on, but for this wedding, we kind of made a trip out of it, and she was my second shooter, and we stayed at St. Martin for 5 or 6 days and,
oh, wow.
And got to shoot the wedding. It was beautiful, wonderful. And
oh, so, yeah, I bet. Wow, that sounds gorgeous. Okay, and so then you moved on, started doing headshots, and I guess one thing that has helped your business is a lot of people now do want a professional headshot, because if they're on LinkedIn or on social media, they want that professional headshot mm-hmm. out there. Have you noticed an increase in your business because of that?
Yes. Ever since LinkedIn, I've been seeing get more and more popular. People are wanting more of or less of the you know, I was just joking with somebody this morning saying, you know, that the person who links you in, and you can tell that it was basically they were in a wedding party and they just cropped themselves right. out. It's like, it's just so unprofessional. And
right.
so that's what we try. That's what we try to kind of hit with the companies. We try to get a company with 2 to 10 or 15 employees and say, hey, we'll come to you. We'll set up everything. We'll set up the light. We'll set up the backdrop. And we can do them in like 10, 15 minute increments. So you don't have to go to a studio. You basically get up, walk around, take your picture, come back, and you're done within 15 to 20 minutes.
And how do you select the background?
They select it. So when we're talking with the company, we basically send them a bunch of actual photos we've taken with backgrounds, but then also we can say, or you can choose from these other ones that are not shown.
And do you have clients that they want a professional headshot, but they don't want it to look exactly posed, like they mm-hmm. want it in kind of a natural environment? How
yes.
do you handle that?
So a good example of that is a contact at Once in Alpharetta. They're they're in 100 best workplace in Atlanta. And they called us and said the exact same thing. They didn't want, you know, a white backdrop, or they didn't want just like a post thing. So we took them actually out back from their offices, and there's really cool trees and lines and different like patterns. So we took it. And so it was more casual, but it was still a super professional headshot.
And you work with the lighting because, of course, you want to make them look as good as they possibly mm-hmm. can look for their professional headshot.
Definitely.
Wow, that's really interesting. And so you've been in business for 13 years. Talk about a little bit, Kyle, about how your company has grown, because we get entrepreneurs in here and all of them talk about how it takes time mm-hmm. to build a company. It doesn't just happen overnight. Talk a little bit about how Valencia Productions has grown.
Yeah, it definitely takes time. A lot of times early on, not so much now. A lot of times I would do things in order to basically make connections with people to build up the business. So I would maybe give some free event photography because I knew that there was going to be businessmen and women there that I wanted to connect with, and then I would connect with them and kind of grow it that way. But yeah, it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, and there's a lot of ups and a lot of downs. But it's been cool to see, especially in the last 3 to 4 years of my business, just each and every year it just compounds and gets more and more, because we have the Jackson Healthcare in Alpharetta, who every single Christmas and every single Halloween, we know they're going to call us for Santa pictures and the Halloween pictures and the corporate headshots. And so we have this relationship where we can kind of count on and bank for that.
Right. And that took time to develop.
Definitely.
That relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Who are some of the other companies you work with?
We've worked with sports companies or sports organizations like Piney Grove Middle School and Northview, Lambert. So basically taking some sports photography for their lacrosse team or their football teams. Other companies that I'm trying to think of are MBlocks. I think they raised about $40 million here in Atlanta. They're a tech company. We've taken their corporate headshots. Chateau Alain is a really great client of ours that we take their aerial photography and videography of their vineyards and that sort.
Do you get some perks from that?
We do. I just took my wife to a weekend at Chateau Alain last month, and it was completely there were really good perks.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say that's got to be a nice part of the job. And what other than headshots, what else do you do at Valencia Productions?
Yeah, so we do anything and everything when it comes to production. So you can have a concept that you wanted photographed and created, or you can have products. We've done product photography for laundry and anywhere from like laundry detergent to jewelry. It was yesterday we were taking out Atlanta Diamonds. And but then also we can create logo designs, anything with design-wise on flyers and brochures. And then also promotional videos. So 30-second or 90-second promotional video of your company, real quick and concise to tell your clients, you know, what their problem is and how you're going to solve that in a story within 30 to 60 seconds.
Now, do you write the promotional videos or do they tell you what they want, or how does that process work?
Yeah, the process works where I talk to a client and they, you know, have a conversation with what exactly they're wanting. And then we'll come back and we'll scope out the whole project of what we think they would need in that sense. And then we'll help write the script and we'll help write storyboard everything and from soup to nuts.
Okay. Well, what else is happening at Valencia Productions? I see here you do some fundraising.
That is a completely separate company. So I'm also the founder of Motive Deals Fundraising. So if you ever had a high school football player sell you a little plastic fundraising deal card, you'll know exactly what we do. So we actually created the digital version of that that card. So now the football team is selling memberships to our platform, and then the local supporters get all the deals on their phone. So you don't have to carry around a card. You don't have to do anything. You just simply are waiting in the line at Moe's, and you say, oh, yeah, I have a Motive Deals for that. You click reserve, and then you show them all throughout with the web app, and it's all done through a remote.
Were you the first one to start this as...
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, to my knowledge, there's not much competition, or there is one other company that after the fact has created a similar kind of process, but... It's one of those things where, one, the market's so big that, you know, it's going well for, I'm sure, them and us. And then also we have a nationwide fundraising company we're partnering with right now, and we're in beta and pilots where we're doing some partnerships with their 30 states.
And when you say we, how many employees do you have?
Yeah, so with the production company, we have about 5 to 7 people that we can call on and trust. But employees wise, we don't have any. But Motive Deals, we have a couple developers.
Yeah, we're speaking with Kyle Valencia with Valencia Productions and Motive Deals. He's a serial entrepreneur, a community leader, and a father of 3. How do you balance it all?
I don't know if I do that well.
Well, when you wake up in the day, how do you decide, okay, today I'm going to tackle this, you know, deal, or I've got to, you know, work on this kind of growth I mean, there's so much. And then at the end of the day, you got to make sure you make time for your family as well.
That was a joke, but I do try to balance it out. Give you an example. Yesterday was an all day affair where it was 7 in the morning, didn't get home till 10 p.m. last night. And then I was out to Alpharetta by 7 a.m. this morning. Mm. And so I'm going to go home a little early today, and I'm going to see my kids, and we're going to go to Wednesday night church and all of that. So I try to basically make it so if I have to do a 48-hour stint where I'm just going to be gone and doing it, and just kind of looking at it like I'm traveling. I'm not traveling to Pittsburgh, but I am going to be traveling all around Atlanta.
Yeah.
That I just make time to get home a little early and maybe work from home. And it's the beauty of owning your own company and a production company where I can work pretty much anywhere. So next week I'm taking my kids to the beach, and I might be doing a little bit of work, but it's not bad to put your toes in the sand and edit a little video.
Right. So it sounds like you've got it going on. You're able to balance it all. You've got some new projects that are on the horizon, and you got some existing businesses like the production company that are still continuing to grow. What advice would you give to a young entrepreneur out there who may be taking their first chance at starting their own business? What are some good first steps that you think they should take?
Don't do it alone. So,
good advice.
And your network is everything. You know, jobs come and go, but your network stays the same. And so I would promote or tell them that go to as much networking events as possible. Go to people that you know and trust and ask them to mentor you, because things will go awry, and you want to have a good solid foundation of people that you can rely on for advice, but then also a solid foundation of people you can rely on referrals.
Yeah, can't do it alone. And, you know, we don't do it alone here in the Business Radio X studio, as we're a team as well. So we certainly resonate with those thoughts.
Well, tell us, Kyle, how our audience can get in touch with you.
Yeah. So production company, ValenciaProductions.com, or you can email me at Kyle@ValenciaProductions.com. We're all over social media. If you just Google it, you'll find us there. And then Motive Deals is the same thing, MOTIVDeals.com, and you can get all the information there.
Okay. Well, we're going to come back to you, Kyle, but I want to introduce our second guest, Ryan Pryor. Ryan is with the Blue Ribbon Foundation and Forgotten Plague. Ryan is a multimedia journalist and social entrepreneur. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. When did you decide that you wanted to be a journalist? Because the audience can't see this, but you're pretty young. And to be a multimedia journalist, tell us how that started.
Probably when I was about 14 years old, and I was in a high school English class, and literature was really the topic that was resonating the most with me, and that was what spoke to my own personal experience more so than, you know, maybe math equations. And so seeing writing by Edgar Allan Poe or any of these, you know, great writers, that was something that spoke to me at a very deep level. I knew that I wanted to be a writer as well, and I think journalism is one of the easiest ways to sort of get paid and be a storyteller day in, day out. Although I really love doing long form projects, like, you know, as well.
Okay. And where did you study?
I got degrees from the University of Georgia in the honors program, and I was studied English and international affairs in Athens.
And what happened after college?
After college, within a few months, I worked with a partner, Nicole Castillo, and we built a company. And raised about $20,000 to film a documentary that we would eventually call Forgotten Plague. Over the course of the next year or so, we raised about $150,000 to finance that film and travel across the country.
$150,000 in 1 year you raised.
About 16 months or so. So that was when you're 23 or 24, that was a huge undertaking, and we, you know, started the company. It was as a nonprofit called the Blue Ribbon Foundation. So we're a 501c3. So we were makes it a little bit easier if you have that nonprofit status to raise funds, at least the way that we were doing the film.
And tell our audience what the Forgotten Plague is.
Forgotten Plague is a film, but it specifically refers to a disease called myalgic encephalomyelitis. Myalgic encephalomyelitis. And then the more common term is chronic fatigue syndrome, but most people think that chronic fatigue syndrome doesn't even do anywhere near justice describing what the actual disease is. So if you think of, like, you know, chronic fatigue, and people, you're tired all the time, and you multiply that by 100, that might be one way to start in trying to describe to people what that means. And so a lot of times myalgic encephalomyelitis is what patients and doctors and scientists prefer. Myalgic means pain. If you've heard of fibromyalgia, that myalgia is pain, usually a flu-like pain. And then encephalomyelitis is a inflammation of the brain and the nervous system. So it's a disease that affects your nervous system and your immune system.
And why did you want to do a documentary on this disease?
When I was a junior in high school, I was basically forced to... I was a cross-country athlete, a soccer player, student council president, and I was forced to kind of drop out of school for about 7 months when I was 16 and 17. And so I was eventually diagnosed with this disease about a year and a half later. And so I became so sick that I couldn't really participate in any school activities. I had teachers came to my house, three different teachers taught me most of my classes that year. And oftentimes by my bedside. And I'm one of the luckier ones that is able to have something resembling a functional recovery. And went on to writing jobs or internships, at least with Newsweek and then with USA Today when I was in high school. And I was primarily interested in writing about politics, and it was the 2012 presidential campaign. So I thought the most interesting thing that I could be writing about as a journalist on the national level would be, Romney versus Obama. Like, this was like the big thing. But there is a set of stories I wrote about my experiences with chronic fatigue syndrome that resonated significantly greater than anything I was writing about the campaign. And just was bombarded by comments and feedback and sharing of the article, and was contacted by a writer in Canada who wanted to use my story in a book that she was writing. People were commenting on the articles, talking about how they were thinking about committing suicide because the suffering was so great and the lack of knowledge from medical professionals was so profound that for many people, suicide is the only way out. And so that was really a jaw-dropping moment that changed my life. And that was what led to us deciding to do a long form project about this disease.
Okay. Well, I want to go back for a second. So you're a junior in college, mm-hmm. bebopping along.
A junior in high school, yeah.
Oh, junior in high school. Junior in mm-hmm. high school, bebopping mm-hmm. along, interested in journalism. What was the first sign of this disease? I mean, did you just wake up one morning and you're like, oh, I can't get out of bed? How does this happen?
About 70% of the patients are going to experience something they call an acute onset, and then about 30% probably have a gradual onset. So acute onset, most people will say they know the exact day that they got sick. So for me, that's October 23rd, 2006.
What happened October 23rd?
So basically, came home from school, and I, that particular day, I didn't really think anything of it, but I just got home and fell asleep, and then it was probably about 3 o'clock. I got back, and then the next morning was about 6:30 or 7. I woke up, and that was 16 hours. And so I did that multiple days in a row. And
you slept for 16 hours straight.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, it's not in this shadow world of this disease. That's kind of not that uncommon,
right? But you knew that was not normal for you, so you knew something.
After about 2 weeks, I had to realize I had to completely drop out of school because I was incapable of doing any homework, incapable of holding my head up in class, incapable of paying attention to anything that was going on. And that was when they kind of enrolled me in this hospital homebound program. That was the only way to say it.
Ryan, how long did it take the doctors to figure out and diagnose you?
So I saw 16 doctors.
16 doctors.
So there's and I'm so used to telling the story, and I'm so used to interviewing hundreds of people who had this disease that doesn't even remotely faze me. 16 is normal, maybe even on the lower end for what most people deal with. So it's really a scandal within the medical community that this is not more widely known. I saw an endocrinologist, a rheumatologist, a neurologist, infectious disease doctor. There was an acupuncture doctor. I saw four different primary care physicians. As saw a second rheumatologist, a second endocrinologist. So, you're getting these very, special, specific specialties, and then, even getting second opinions within that. And basically, this is a disease that's not taught in medical school, but it's one of the most common diseases one of the more common diseases out there. So about 1 million people have it. So 1 in 300 people have this. But any doctor that you see will most likely can't diagnose it.
And why you? I mean, is there any rhyme or reason why people contract this disease?
There's probably a genetic component, and there's probably an infectious disease component, and it's probably with it. So certain, pathogens and other more herpes viruses or Lyme disease or some of those things can be implicated in this. And then there's a kind of an environmental or behavioral aspect of someone who's very going through a divorce will be more likely to get it. Someone who's going through traumatic experience.
So stress.
Stress, yeah. In one word, that's probably correct, yeah.
Okay. Well, tell us about the film and what's so important about it.
So the film kind of partly tells my story, but it also tells a story of the history of this disease going back the last 30 or 40 years, back to some of the original outbreaks of it in the UK. We interviewed scientists and doctors from a lot of leading universities who are studying this. So they've got to travel to Harvard and Stanford multiple times, and scientists from Columbia University as well. And lots of science, lots of medical terminology. But I think it's a very much a mainstream film. So it's very it's on iTunes, it's on Amazon Prime, it's all the usual suspects of how you'd want to go to watch a film. It's on DVD, and it's meant to speak to a mainstream audience.
And how is this film helping people that have this disease, and even helping doctors that, like you said, don't have an understanding?
So the feedback is profound, and we've gotten constantly day in day out get emails from people all over the world who are watching it and sharing it. And in the last week, we've this is kind of a constant thing, is people constantly want to watch it in Australia, but there's some issues about how to get this into the Australian market. A lot of the people in the Netherlands, all across Europe, it's being watched in strong numbers, and in the US and in Canada as well. And for people who have this disease, who have felt misunderstood by their community, by their family, by their colleagues, by their classmates, by their doctors, this is it's something that's kind of life-changing. And a lot of people write in this, and they have tears in their eyes. This is kind of like a spiritual experience for them to finally get a film that encapsulates the history, the science, the personal experience, and the politics of this all in one 70-minute package. It's extremely useful, and lots of people buy 5 DVDs or 10 DVDs because they're giving them out to doctors, giving them out to politicians, because the political aspect of this is very important, because you need legislatures of in U.S. House and U.S. Senate that we're doing a lot of work with, trying to get them to fund this disease better through the National Institutes of Health. So there's a strong political current to what we're doing as well.
You're listening to Atlanta Business Radio. We're speaking with Ryan Pryor with the Blue Ribbon Foundation. The Forgotten Plague is producer, writer, co-director, survivor. Do you have an idea of how many people are actually affected by this disease in our country?
In the U.S., it's 1 in 300, so about 1 million. If the population is 300 million or so, that about 1 million people.
So that's plenty of people to make this kind of a more publicly aware kind of a situation. Yeah. It affects people of all ages, all backgrounds. And so, why do you think this is still kind of on the back burner as far as knowledge and understanding of the general public?
So there's several different issues. The first one being that it was more recently called chronic fatigue syndrome. And so it's very easy to shorten chronic fatigue syndrome into chronic fatigue. And then people say, oh, everybody has chronic fatigue.
That's not real, right?
Right. And so it becomes way too vague. And also I always make the argument that chronic fatigue is a symptom of probably 100 or more different diseases. Every single disease that you look at, especially when I was being diagnosed, fatigue was a symptom of every single one of them. And so that it's hard to, when you have a public health agency like the CDC, defining the disease around that particular symptom, that's a huge issue.
Right.
And the wording is a problem. So that's why people like this term ME, myalgic encephalomyelitis. Another big issue is the lack of a blood test or a biomarker. So that usually when you go into a doctor's office that you want to, they'll do one particular blood test or a urine test or brain scan or x-ray, and say that it's a yes or no question. You have this. That is currently not on offer. So people have to get take 6 months to get diagnosed. Yeah.
Is there currently research into developing some sort of biomarker or a simple test that people can take?
Yeah, there absolutely is, but there is so little funding for that. It's very difficult. But one of the themes in our film is that this is one of the for people who are severely affected, who can't eat or can't swallow food or who can't talk or who have been bedridden, you know, for years, this is one of the worst diseases out there. At the same time, there's some of the most brilliant people in the world working on this, but there is some bias among the National Institutes of Health still about funding high-quality grant proposals. And so that right now there's about $5 million being put into this each year by the NIH, and that number should be more in the $100 to $150 million range. And that's where the funding is for diseases like Parkinson's and multiple sclerosis, which are kind of equally common, maybe even less common than this.
But certainly more known.
But more known. So there's a you know, and a lot of people make the argument that there's a there's no strong celebrity, and so there's a Michael J. Fox sort of factor going on with Parkinson's. AIDS has, you know, any number of people that were prominent spokespeople for AIDS. So there is not a prominent spokesperson,
figurehead for the actual disease itself that can relay information.
So that's
to
another
them.
Big issue with it.
And one more question for you: We met you at the Sandy Springs Young Professional Mixer. Mm-hmm. You're a writer, a producer, a director of a movie. What brought you out there to want to be involved with that event?
Yeah, I've been involved with the Junior Chamber International here, and I have a good friend from high school who got me involved with that, and I've spoken at I think once or twice at those events. And so this was a bigger mixer with seven or eight, you know, big, you know, young professional groups in the area. And so they invited me to come speak at that one as well.
Good.
So to help promote the
right, create more awareness,
the nonprofit, and we really want to kind of get more funding for our nonprofit for several of the initiatives that we're doing. Part of, you know, I'll mention one last thing that we did is that we were running a thing called the Congressional PAC, so that right now there's 330 different people in the U.S. who have bought this, and it's going to basically send the DVD to their congressman or send the DVD to their senator. So those are 150 different unique representatives and senators who are getting Forgotten Plague DVDs with specific letter explaining to them what exactly they need to do from a congressional or Senate perspective to help improve the situation for, you know, 1 million Americans who have this and 20 million people worldwide.
And Ryan, how can our audience get involved with the Blue Ribbon Foundation?
So our website is www.forgottenplague.com, forgottenplague.com. And our that's for the film. And then our nonprofit website is theblueribbonfoundation.org.
So the first one was if you want to see the film.
The film and kind of get much more information about the film is forgottenplague.com. And the website for the nonprofit is theblueribbonfoundation.org. And so we're definitely interested in having people who are more volunteers from people who are, you know, skilled in, you know, financial issues or social media or marketing or writing or nonprofit governance issues. Those are all things that we're actively recruiting volunteers for and board members, so that there's plenty of ways to get involved, and we do like specifically Atlanta area people to do that.
Okay. Well, I'd like to open up the floor now just for discussion between Ryan Kyle and the other Ryan and myself. Right. Kyle, did you have any questions or comments that you wanted to add?
No questions. I'm sure I will once we kind of get rolling, but I've actually had a few friends of mine have the same exact thing. So I'm really glad you're doing it. And it's really interesting. And I think that I'm for sure going to check it out and watch it. And it's cool to see somebody who at such a young age already accomplished so much with fundraising and 501c3s and all of that. That's a big accomplishment.
Yeah, I'm curious. What's your friend's experience has been like having this? And
it was more of just complete and utter just sitting in bed and just could not move, and it was painful and just I don't know exactly, and I can't really speak for her, but she definitely was debilitating for her.
Did she recover?
Yeah, I mean, I think it. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think kind of can come in waves, and so there's good times and bad times. But it's something that I'm definitely glad that you're doing that.
So if we have someone who's out there listening right now and they're feeling some of these symptoms that you have just described, mm-hmm. what would you say to them or some things they should do to go kind of get checked and make sure they're getting the right diagnosis?
And a lot of times you have to kind of bring the information to the doctor. And that's not as like unheard of as you might think. And doctors really like engaged patients. And so if you're actively researching as a patient and actively sort of not taking your illness lying down, they like that. And, you know, if you're engaging with a doctor on a, you know, significant scientific and intellectual level, I think that they will take you seriously. And so you can kind of self-diagnose to a degree, but you do need them to, you know, formally diagnose you. But yeah. you do have a strong influence, I think, as long as you come across as credible.
Yeah, so listen to your body and make sure that if you're experiencing unwanted symptoms of tiredness and fatigue, then make sure you go get checked out and ask the questions you need to be asking to, you know, what can I do to get this, you know, understood?
So, yeah, additional symptoms people feel are going to be pain and the fatigue. The most important thing is going to be called post-exertional malaise. And so usually on the second day after some, you know, even minor exercise, minor exertion, sometimes it's as small as like taking a shower or walking up a couple flights of stairs, you kind of feel like you need to be in bed for a few days. That's a profound symptom. So people also have profound sleep abnormalities, insomnia, or problems with getting restful sleep. So you sleep 8 hours and you're don't feel any better the next day. And also, you have a lot of cognitive effects, very, very big problems with memory and kind of simple decisions and problem solving. So those are all, you know, among a longer list of symptoms. But I think those are kind of the core of it.
And Kyle, you and Ryan have something in common because I met you both at the Young Professionals Mixer. And you were there taking pictures.
I was. Yeah, so the Sandy Springs Chamber has partnered with my company, and we are taking all their lunch pictures. Like when they have those big lunches, like last week, Dan Cathy was speaking at their chamber lunch, and we took the pictures there, and then also their galas and all that. So that we were out there helping them out and trying to document what they're doing out there.
And you mentioned partnered with them. So, you know, we don't have to, you know, talk numbers, but yeah. I mean, what does that mean?
Well, I say partner, it's a loose partnership in the sense of like, when I talk to them, they're saying, "Well, you're our photographer. This is. I work with Brandy Duncan. She's out there. She coordinates everything, and she. It's just cool to know. And it goes back to the whole Jackson Healthcare to know that we're building these relationships that I know that they're going to call me next month and say, "Hey, the next you know 3 to 6 months, here's what we have on the schedule. Let's figure it out. Let's do it." So, it's good, and it's. It kind of, I guess, gives our company a little bit more of an edge when we go there because the Sandy Springs Chamber is the one saying this is a photographer.
This is a hub for hundreds of businesses in the area. So
you're not going to pick just any old photographer.
Right. You've been vetted by the chamber itself, so other businesses automatically know you're another level above maybe the other average photographer company out there. So
Kyle, what's next for you? You have two successful companies. What's on your next, your to-do list? What's your next big goal that you would like to achieve?
Yeah. So, there's a couple different routes that we could go, with the Motive Deals fundraising, there's so much huge potential and I saw up on your thing. I don't know if those are all people that you actually interviewed,
yes.
but Chris Carneal with Booster.
Yep. Boosterthon.
That's the actual company we're working with.
They supply the country with more t-shirts than any other company.
I know. It's crazy.
Because they sell so many for their 5Ks.
Yeah. And so they do fun runs across the United States. And so that's the company we're doing beta and pilots with. And so it's just really cool and very exciting. And they're a great, great group of people that that we want to be associated with. So that's on the horizon. And then production is always my passion in creating. So I'm kind of thinking through how I could pass the baton to maybe one of the photographer videographers to do that. And then I might actually go into a product, actually creating a product to sell to the consumers.
What product?
It's not what I'm not really saying yet.
No,
we're talking CAD drawings and all that right now. But that could be on the horizon. horizon, but that's more of after we kind of figure out this whole
thing. You have to come back and update us on the big news.
Yeah. You'll have to come back and give do the unveiling of the product.
We should.
Live radio announcement right here on Atlanta Business Radio.
And you can just describe what it looks like.
Right. Okay, great. And Ryan, what's next for you? You've already raised money. You've made a documentary. You've been a huge part of this movement. What's next for you?
Yeah, we just had a big protest in Washington, D.C., and that was also with there was a big protest that was in 12 different cities worldwide. And so that was kind of a seminal moment, I think, for the ME community. That was last month. And also continue to kind of speak and write and advocate and engage with government officials. The CDC, we had a meeting with them last week, basically, and so they've come and said that they will do a screening of the film for the what's called the Division of High Consequence Pathogens at the CDC. So we'll keep on doing some of that same work with my foundation and with the overall MECVS patient and research community worldwide. But my day job now is I work for CNN, and I'm kind of helping covering the presidential campaign there. But I'm also writing a lot of articles for health and wellness, or plan to. I'm also doing a program with Stanford Medicine X, so I'll be out at Stanford in September for their big conference. And that's really about, you know, engaged patients with different chronic diseases coming together and talking about how to, like, improve the overall healthcare experience for people with kind of these invisible or forgotten illnesses.
Well, Kyle and Ryan, it's been an absolute pleasure interviewing you both today. And your contact information will be posted on our website, so our audience can take a look at that and see how to contact you and get involved. And if your business is doing something exciting and you would like to be featured on Business Radio X, reach out to us on the contact page at businessradiox.com. Special thanks to our producer, Ryan Redhawk McPherson. All right, my friends, thank you for listening. I'm Alex Gossett-Shiflett, your hostess with the mostest. And as always, I'm wondering who will be my next guest on Business Radio X.